Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Regime Change Toward a Post-Liberal Future, as Patrick J. Deneen's argument that the crisis of contemporary politics is not a temporary malfunction, but the predictable outcome of liberalism's internal logic. Building on themes associated with his earlier critiques, Deneen contends that modern liberal societies have produced widening inequality, cultural fragmentation, and a hollowed civic life even while expanding formal rights and economic dynamism. The book frames current turmoil as a transition between ruling orders, in which old coalitions and assumptions no longer command trust. Rather than calling for a simple return to the past, Deneen sketches a post-liberal direction that emphasizes the formation of citizens, the moral ends of politics, and the recovery of durable institutions such as family, community, and religious and civic associations. His focus is as much cultural as governmental, arguing that any real change requires reshaping elites, education, and the habits that sustain self-government. The result is a provocative roadmap for readers questioning the liberal consensus. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, liberalism as a self-undermining project. A central theme is the claim that liberalism contains tensions that eventually corrode the goods it promises. Deneen argues that liberal regimes aim to maximize individual autonomy, mobility, and choice, but in doing so, they weaken the social and moral preconditions that make freedom meaningful. When communities, shared norms, and local attachments are treated as optional or restrictive, individuals become less capable of self-rule and more dependent on large institutions. The book links this dynamic to the growth of managerial systems in government and the economy, where expert administration replaces older forms of civic participation. Deneen also connects liberal political theory with an economic order that prizes efficiency and scale, producing both consumer abundance and social dislocation. The result, as he presents it, is a paradox, a politics devoted to liberating individuals ends by concentrating power, intensifying surveillance and regulation, and leaving many people isolated. This topic clarifies why Deneen treats polarization, distrust, and cultural conflict not as accidental pathologies, but as symptoms of a deeper governing philosophy reaching exhaustion. Secondly, the rise of a new elite and the hollowing of the middle. Deneen places significant weight on the formation of a dominant class that benefits from liberal arrangements while remaining insulated from their costs. In his account, credentialed and mobile elites thrive in economies, organized around knowledge work, global networks, and professional advancement. Their success depends less on local community ties and more on institutions such as universities, corporations, and administrative states that reward conformity to a shared managerial culture. Meanwhile, the burdens of disruption fall on communities tied to place, manual work, and family stability. This produces not only economic inequality, but also cultural distance, as elites develop distinct norms and moral vocabularies that can appear contemptuous of ordinary attachments. The book argues that resentment and populist energy are fueled by this gap, but it also warns that populism can be misdirected if it merely swaps personalities while leaving the underlying class formation intact. A post-liberal future, as Deneen sketches it, requires reorienting leadership toward service, limiting extractive practices, and rebuilding pathways to dignity outside elite credential pipelines. The emphasis is on changing who rules and what ruling is for. Thirdly, from neutral state to moral regime, another key topic is the argument that liberalism cannot remain neutral about the good life, even when it claims to. Deneen suggests that the liberal state increasingly enforces a substantive moral vision, centered on autonomy, self-definition, and liberation from inherited obligations. As cultural disputes intensify, institutions that were expected to remain pluralistic, such as schools, courts, and corporations, become vehicles for a shared ideological framework. This, in his view, turns politics into a comprehensive contest over formation, language, and permissible beliefs, rather than a limited arrangement for peaceful coexistence. He portrays the expansion of rights talk and anti-discrimination regimes as intertwined with administrative power, enabling governance through policy, litigation, and professional standards, rather than democratic deliberation. The topic is not presented simply as a critique of one side of the culture wars, but as a description of how liberal societies generate moral conflict while claiming to avoid it. Deneen's post-liberal alternative calls for acknowledging that every regime forms citizens, then making formation explicit, accountable, and oriented toward shared goods such as family stability, civic friendship, and the cultivation of virtue. Fourthly, rebuilding institutions of self-government. Deneen argues that lasting political renewal cannot be achieved only through elections or policy tweaks, because the deeper problem is institutional decay. He emphasizes the importance of intermediary institutions that stand between isolated individuals and centralized power. These include families, religious communities, local associations, labor and professional guild-like structures, and civic organizations that teach responsibility and mutual obligation. In his framing, liberalism tends to erode these institutions by encouraging geographic mobility, redefining commitments as contracts of convenience, and placing more functions under market or state administration. A post-liberal regime change would therefore prioritize policies and cultural efforts that make it easier to form and sustain durable communities. This could involve strengthening local economies, supporting family formation, reforming education towards civic and moral formation, and limiting forms of corporate and bureaucratic dominance that undermine local decision-making. Importantly, the book treats institutions not merely as service providers, but as schools of character. The point is to recover self-government by rebuilding the habits that make democratic life possible, including limits, loyalty, and a willingness to sacrifice for common purposes. Institutional renewal becomes both a political program and a cultural discipline. Lastly, a post-liberal direction, ends, limits, and the common good, the final major topic is Deneen's positive sketch of what post-liberalism might seek. Rather than viewing politics as a mechanism to protect individual preference satisfaction, he presents politics as ordered towards substantive ends, especially the common good. This involves recovering a language of purpose, limits, and duties, and evaluating economic and social arrangements by how they shape human beings. The book's post-liberal orientation is skeptical of unlimited growth, frictionless mobility, and technological solutions that ignore moral formation. It also critiques the assumption that freedom is primarily freedom from constraint, proposing instead that freedom can be understood as the capacity to pursue the good within supportive communities. Deneen's vision implies a different relationship between citizens and rulers, where leadership is judged by stewardship and justice rather than by procedural neutrality. He suggests that a new coalition could emerge that is more rooted, more oriented to family and community, and more willing to use law and policy to sustain social goods. This topic frames regime change not as a revolution of violence, but as a reordering of priorities, institutions, and moral imagination toward a post-liberal settlement. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who sense that today's political conflict is bigger than partisan cycles and want a deeper explanation of why liberal democracies feel increasingly brittle. Students of political theory, civic leaders, clergy, educators, and policy-minded professionals will find a clear argument that connects cultural fragmentation, economic dislocation, and the rise of managerial governance to a shared philosophical core. The main benefit is diagnostic. Deneen offers a framework for interpreting polarization and elite mistrust as regime-level symptoms rather than isolated scandals. That diagnosis can help readers think more strategically about renewal, shifting attention from outrage and electoral theater toward institution building, leadership formation, and community-rooted reforms. The book is also practically valuable because it insists that any durable alternative must address everyday realities, such as family stability, local opportunity, and civic education, not just abstract rights. Compared to similar critiques of liberalism, it is worth buying because it pairs critique with a forward-looking orientation, pointing toward a post-liberal horizon rather than mere nostalgia or cynicism. Even readers who disagree will gain a sharper map of the arguments shaping contemporary post-liberal debate and a more serious vocabulary for discussing the common good. If you would like to support Patrick J. Deneen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.